Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to take you into a message did right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, titled, God Declares That Man Is a Soul. Let's go into the Word of God, and I want to prove to you that the word soul means soul, and the word spirit means spirit, and God declares that man is a soul. Let's go into the Word of God. God bless you.
And you can't twist these scriptures. Let me say this before I move on. Some people teach the soul is just the will, the mind, and emotions. That's a half-truth. When you study the Bible don't say that's the sum total of the soul. Jesus in Luke 9:25 says that the himself, the person himself is the soul. The soul is the sum total of who you are. With a spirit in the center of your soul, that's the voice of God in you that tells you right from wrong. And the church has made the spirit the candle of the Lord, the person, and that's the biggest lie ever been taught from a pulpit. Because it's got folks deceived now. Because the spirit is what's born again. And because I'm born again, I know my born again spirit can't sin, don't sin. And it is one with God. Righteousness is in my spirit. So if I teach you that's who you are, then your soul gonna get away with murder. But it's not really getting away, because when you die and jump out your body, you gonna realize your soul just like God said. It's deception. Hallelujah. Now, the soul is the whole person. You know when that body in that casket, you know something or somebody done moved out. You know that person ain't the same. That body's still sitting there, but the person who made that body move and the person who made all the decisions and loved you back when they was here on the earth, they not there no more. That's the soul done departed out that body. And that soul had a spirit in it that God gave him while he was in life to be the conscience of God to tell him right from wrong. And so you teach that the soul is just something you have. I'm a spirit, candle of the Lord, and I have a soul. That Bible we started out reading said God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. How do we let some preacher change that on us? Glory to God. Let me get on these scriptures right here, because I got to prove to you that this is not Curtis Lewis' message. This is in your Bible. Okay, go to Titus 3 and 5. This scripture right here, I quoted a lot. It tells you how we got saved. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He's going to tell you how. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Three things he did. Washing, regeneration, and a renewing. And it was done by the Holy Ghost. When you study other scriptures in the Bible and you break salvation down, you find out, and I don't have time to go to all of them, but I'm going to give you some more in line with my message. You find out that the only two things that was washed and renewed was the body and the soul, okay? And when it was washed and renewed, that's why the Bible called it sanctified. It has been washed, renewed, cleaned up. It's brand new. All old stuff taken out of it, and now it's set aside. Sanctified means set aside. God set it aside, but he took the spirit and regenerated it, which is a new birth. Your spirit is born of God. Righteousness indwells your spirit. Your spirit is one with God. But don't let religion fool you. That's not who you are. That's what you have inside of you that keeps you right. That's what's telling you this message is right now. When you go to your Bible, that spirit is what tells you that's God. You are soul. Okay? Now, go to the next one. Jude 1 and 1. Watch this now. See, we need to study the scriptures so we'll understand salvation. Because many people got a faulty view of salvation. If you honestly want to be saved, I'm trying to tell you how. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserve. That's the body and the soul. Now, I got other scriptures to go to, but for the sake of time, I'm going to go on and stick with my subject. But this right here is your body and your soul is preserved and sanctified in the born-again experience. Okay, let's move on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Write this down. Everything I preach got the match from Genesis to Revelation, or it's a joke. It's not from God. 1 Thessalonians, I'll just show it to Jude 1 and 1. It said, to them that are sanctified and preserved. The soul and the body has been sanctified and preserved in the born-again experience. Now, here's what the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. And I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. They got teaching right now, says grace message, trying to let people know grace keep on abounding as you keep on sinning. Grace greater than your sin. Grace just keep abounding. No, grace does not keep abounding, because the Bible said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God has forbidden for grace to keep abounding just because you want to keep sinning. That grace message not being taught right. God has forbidden grace to keep on abounding. God just leave you alone till you make your mind up. Okay, so he said, now you sanctified. Now Paul said, I pray you stay sanctified all the way to the trumpet blow. Now you don't hear enough of that teaching in the body about how to live a sanctified life. Okay, let me give you some other scriptures to go look at. John 17:19. That basically says that the only way you're going to stay sanctified is you got to be taught the truth. Now, what if you're being taught a lie? You're not going to stay sanctified. Okay? Acts 20, verse 32. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Find that for me, a woman of God, and read it for me right fast while I call these other ones. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. And Judy, find 2 Timothy 2, verse 21 through 22. Okay? Okay, Acts 20, 32. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 21 and 22. Hebrews 10 and verse 29. Now, Hebrews 10 and 29 warn. See, these grace teachers try to take all of these scriptures out. Here's a warning to sanctified people. Here's a warning to those that's been born again and sanctified by God and preserved. The warning is, if you keep on living in sin and you die in your sin, he said that if the people in the old covenant was punished by two or three witnesses, you deserve more punishment than them in the Old Testament, because you done made the blood of Christ by which you were sanctified an unholy thing. Yes. Now, read 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, because I'm still talking about the people that are sanctified and preserved, which is the soul and the body. The soul and the body is still natural. At the last trump, God going to give you a glorified body. At the end, he's going to give you a glorified soul. Right now, when you're born again, your soul and your body have been washed and sanctified, and it's supposed to be preserved all the way. Now, if for some reason you jump out of the preserved jar, jump back in. After you done confess your sins and got it straight. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that confess and forsaken, God will have mercy. Yeah. I'm the most merciful person you'll ever meet, whether you know it or not, because I know how many times I messed up. God, at the end of your life, not going to look back and tally every time you messed up. What he going to tell is, did you get dressed up before you die? Yeah. That's the key. Read it.
Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus.
See, he's still talking to the sanctified people. Who are the sanctified people? The one that got born again. His spirit was made divine just like God. The soul was cleaned up. The body was sanctified. God took all sin out. And now he said, you got to stay preserved all the way to Jesus come. Now he's addressing the sanctified people. Come on. Now start over again.
Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified.
He's talking to the sanctified people. Now watch what he say to them.
In Christ Jesus, called to be saints.
Thank you. He's talking to sanctified people, and he said God is calling you to stay sanctified. Now you're not going to hear this taught You're not going to hear it explained. You're not going to hear people majoring on this, because most preachers not watching for your soul. They think you're just going to glide into heaven. But when you got a real watcher of your soul, they're going to break it down and tell you what you got to do if should something go wrong. And if I don't teach it right and don't live it right, I'm doing you a disservice. Because at the end, when you stop breathing, you stand before God and he escorts you to hell. What good did I do you following my lead if I told you a lie? Read it.
If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master.
When you got born again, you're a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. Now this Bible from Genesis to Revelation talk nothing but about stay sanctified. Stay in the ship. Go all the way to the end. And then it said, until the trumpet blow, you got to stay preserved. You got to stay sanctified. And then if you don't, and you get stuff in your life, then this Bible, go read it, because what he's saying is if you get stuff back in your life, you unfit for God. When last time you heard that message explained? That's what that scripture talking about. And he, 1 John 3, verse 1 down to verse 3, it talks about, because God knew that a lot of folks were going to be deceived. And so thank God for 1 John 1, 9. If it wasn't for 1 John 1, 9, that said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Elder Shalando, I wouldn't be preaching today if it wasn't for that scripture. Thank God he made provision. Thank God he made provision for me to get it back right if I messed up. But now that I know what this Bible really is saying, I'm called to stay sanctified, because I don't know the day I'm going to stop breathing. I'm called to stay sanctified. I'm called to stay preserved all the way till I stop breathing. Now that I know that, it makes my walk more interesting. Yes, God. Hallelujah. I don't take sin lightly no more, whereas I used to. But I understand this plan now. Because it's a plan of salvation. You think I'm going to go out there and sin? My wife can go 50,000 miles away. I ain't doing no wrong. Not when you understand this. But it's not being taught and expressed. Salvation taught like a little haphazard thing. Just confess Jesus. One preacher said 2 weeks ago. He said, you don't even have to do nothing. Just stand up. Here's what he said. Stand up, Sister Deborah. Let's say you're not saved. Do you believe in Jesus? Say, I believe I'm saved. Sit down, you're saved. You're going to heaven. No, I'm serious. I promise you, the man taught millions of people that. He said, sit down, you're going to heaven. That's how easy it is. It's a broad way going to heaven. He said it. And he ain't the only one saying it. Thousands of preachers teaching that same message. Y'all better open your ears up. You may like Reverend so-and-so. You better study his doctrine. That's what they're telling folks now. And as if your sins don't matter, if you believe, you're going to heaven. It's a broad way. Everybody can go. Fools can go. That's what they're teaching. Let me try to move a little bit here. Okay. All right. Here's my thought. If all people who truly want to make heaven their home begin from this day forward to listen closely, at most of the teaching regarding the salvation of the soul, you will find that people are taught that the soul is saved right now. But the Bible don't teach that. The Bible teach that the soul is sanctified and preserved to be saved in the end. Let's finish some more scriptures. Go to Matthew 24:13. Here's Dr. Jesus. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. All right. Now you can go look at it in context. Okay, go to 1 Peter 1, 9. Look at that one. Here's another scripture. This is not something I made up. This is the mystery of how salvation worked. And it done become a mystery again, because most of the stuff you hear, salvation is taught wrong. Jesus said many are going to be turned away from the kingdom. Why? Because many people do not have the right perspective of what the Bible say how to be saved. It's more, you got to confess Jesus with your mouth, receive him in your life, receive his spirit, and you got to go by the plan. Here's another scripture.
Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
1 Peter 1:9.
I'm letting the scripture teach the lesson. I'd said what it's saying, but now I'm letting you see the scripture teaching this. The Bible said the end of your faith. Where is the end of your faith? Is it now? It seemed like the end mean the what?
The end.
Go to Hebrews. Show you another one. Nothing but Bible. Now, you think God don't let peoples into heaven that misunderstood his salvation? No, because God told those people, pick up your own Bible and check every preacher out, and I'll let the Holy Spirit bug you if they're teaching you something wrong. And them folks not picking their Bible up, they believe in these preachers, and they're going to fall in the same ditch with them. Yeah. Hebrews 10.
Now the just shall live by faith.
Stop right there for a minute. Now, I don't have time to teach this lesson, but I will one day. You can go to my website, www.someonecaresministry.org, and I got two lessons on there called His Faith. His Faith. H-I-S. His Faith. And it will further explain this teaching. Now, most of the faith teachers in the country have taught this for many years, and I taught it too till God corrected me. So I'm putting myself in the same shoes. I taught it too till God woke me up and said, that's not my word. Most people teach, and when you hear this teaching, the just shall live by faith. They talk about you living by exercising faith, your faith. Your faith. The just shall live by faith. And they come out with messages just have faith in what he did for you, and you can make it in spite of what's going on in your life. And they even say you can still make it in with unforgiven sin, because you don't have to overcome sin to get into heaven. It's your faith in what he did for you. So they teach, live by faith, believe by faith, do this by faith. The Bible don't teach justification by faith. The Bible teach justification by the faith of Christ. When you go study the Bible, you'll find that there's two different things. God will generate faith in a human's heart, and God do let a person operate in faith, but that faith is designed to bring you to God, and then God give you the faith of Christ. When you get the faith of Christ, you walk like Christ. And the reason people struggle in their Christian life is that they're trying to live life exercising faith in God. God didn't tell you to live by your faith in God. He said when your faith in God just brings you to God, and you learn of him, and then when you learn of him, then Christ lives his life through you. And so this message that's went all around the country that said the just shall live by faith is incorrect. Because when you study the Bible, that Bible said the just shall live by his faith. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not by faith. Now, that's all the time I'm going to spend on that. And Hebrews 10:38 was quoted. Paul quoted this from Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. Because the New Testament was made up from the Old Testament documents. And when Paul quoted this scripture, it was one word that was left out. And I believe it was left out strategically by the Holy Ghost.
Scripture reference, Habakkuk 2. Verse 4, the just shall live by his faith.
Okay, go look online at his faith, and you'll see the faith teachers taught we live by faith, justification by faith. Bible don't teach that. Bible teach justification by the faith of Christ.
Scripture references, Galatians 2:20, Galatians 3:22, Galatians 2:16, Revelation 14:12.
Okay, let me finish this. All right.
But we are not of them who draw back.
How many of y'all going all the way to the end?
Amen.
If you want to be saved, you best better.
Yes.
If you want your soul saved,
yes.
All right, let's start again. Wait, that scripture said we're not going to draw back, and a lot of people draw back to perdition, but you better not draw back, because if you draw back, you won't be saved. But Paul said we're not of them that draw back, but we of them that believe to what? What is he talking about? Because we just looked at 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the, which is the, that's the Bible. That's the Bible. The saving of the soul. How many of y'all really just learned it here? I give God the glory, but you don't know how blessed you are to hear the nuggets you hearing. And then I know we sit in church long in the marriage, but you don't know that this is for the saving of your soul. Some of y'all gonna run and hug me and not let me go when we make it. Buddy, when you see how long hell is, when you see how many people lose their soul, you're going to... Okay, just a couple more. All right, Hebrews 3 and 6. What is all these scriptures talking about? The saving of your soul. But when you hear the average salvation message, they teach it like it's all done right now. No, you have a down payment. The Bible says when you receive the Spirit and born again, that's the earnest of your inheritance. Now, if you stay in it, it's just like you have it right now. But when the Bible talks about having it now, it talks on the positive side as if you're going to stay in. But if you don't stay in, you look, there's all kinds of transactions in the world. You go buy a house, put a down payment, or earnest money. If every party don't do what's right, you can still lose the house. You have an earnest of your inheritance right now by being born again. If you want the rest of it, you got to stay in the faith, and you're called to be sanctified. And Paul said, I pray you stay sanctified all the way to the end. And so in this church, I preach a lot about it because I keep everybody's conscience. No matter how many mistakes you made, long as you got them right, long as you done made peace with God, God won't remember your mistakes. But you can't die in a sin and think you're going to get in. That's watching for your soul. Y'all read this for me. Stop right there. Whose house or who? We are whose house? Okay, whose house are we? Watch this. Wait. If? How many of y'all belong to Christ? Do you, when you die, do you still want to belong to Christ? Yeah. The reason that if is there is it's your choice, your condition, whether you stay in it to the end. Yeah. That's why that if is there. Come on. What is he talking about? The salvation of your soul. Your soul is the person. The soul is the one making the decision. The soul is the one Jesus want to be the shepherd of. Jesus said he that when his souls is wise, he wants your soul. The reason he calls you to be born again is to win your soul. Now, if you get born again and don't stay in the faith and you end up dying in sin, how can he ever possess your soul? How can he ever let your soul go into a pure glorified body, dying in a nasty, sinful life? How? It ain't gonna work. And he ain't gonna do it. All right, next one. 14. Everybody. Stop. We're made partakers of Christ. What is this? Yeah. It's conditional. I'm saved. I was saved March 4th, 1980. I got born again. I got to stay walking as I was born all the way if he gonna finish the rest of it. Because my body got to be changed. My soul got to be changed before I enter the presence of God. Because flesh and blood cannot. You cannot enter that realm this way. The only thing that can enter right now is your spirit. If it jumped out, it could go straight into the presence of God. Your flesh and your soul can't. And God's salvation plan put that at the end. God's so smart. Because folks talking about, oh, you just going to make it in. You born again. God put the judgment seat right at the end and going to judge your life when you get to the end. And a lot of folk going to be surprised. Because my pastor told me I'm born again and it's, I'm going to make it. Better read past the Bible. Hebrews 6, starting at verse 4. This is, you know, the Bible says, let them that are labor in the word and doctrine be counted worthy of double honor. I'm going to tell you what, I'm laboring. I'm laboring. And you ought to be thankful for somebody that's laboring for your soul, because ain't preachers making folks feel good, making folks just petting them, and they're going to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. And I'm going to take the time. If you come here, you're going to be biblically educated. And I know this a lot, but I want you to go read it, because I need you to understand this is God's plan of salvation. Now, I don't know what plan you've been taught, but there ain't but one plan in the Bible. And we're going through it today, and we're just touching on the highlights of it. And you better listen to your spirit before you let somebody twist this word. Hebrews 6. Hebrews was written to the Jewish people who was going back. They had accepted Jesus Christ, and then they was under pressure, and then they, some of them start thinking about going back, and some of them start going back. And Paul wrote, said, wait a minute, if you go back and you trample underfoot the Son of God, and you done tasted of the Holy Ghost, the world to come, and you've been taught all this truth, he said there remain no more sacrifice for you. Now, that's not somebody that's just stumbling and backslid for a moment. That's somebody that renouncing Christ and said, forget it, I'm going back. And you go back to another religion or some other way of salvation. The Bible said, ain't no hope if you do that.
Well, praise the Lord. We're just about out of time for today, but I want to thank you for tuning into the broadcast, and I want to encourage you to go search the scriptures. Jesus said in St. John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. When you search the scriptures and you read it in context, you'll find that in the born-again experience, only the Spirit has been born again. And Proverbs 20, verse 27 says, the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It never said that the spirit of man is the man. The Bible teaches in Genesis 2 verse 7, man is a soul. Confirming verse is 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45. Paul said man is a soul. So I want you to search the scriptures. And if you look at Titus 3 and verse 5, Jude 1 and 1, Ezekiel 36 verse 25 through 27, it shows that when a person is born again, that the spirit in the man is the only thing that's born again, but the soul and the body is sanctified, cleaned up, and preserved to be saved in the end. Bible said at the last trump, the body going to be changed into a glorified body, and at the end of your faith, you're going to receive a glorified soul. The scripture says in James 1 verse 21, it says, receive the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. The soul is in a process called being born again. 1 Peter 1, 9 says, receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Hebrews 10, verse 39 said, we are not of them that draw back, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. Matthew 24, verse 13, Jesus said, to him that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So let's search the scriptures, and let's make sure we're inside of God's perfect overall plan of salvation, spirit, soul, and body. God bless you. We want to invite you to go to our website, www.someonecaresministry.org, for more free teaching. This is Apostle Lewis saying we love you. We thank God for you. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you on the next broadcast.